here we go, boys.
Go.
Ooh, I love that sound. This is a good one.
But a G thing, baby.
That's a good way to start a podcast.
All right.
I'll show off my very white rapping skills.
There you go.
Well, welcome to the Full Scale Outdoors Podcast. I have with me today Eric Frank. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be here.
That's like an official introduction. I don't usually do it. I usually just start yammering on, but
yeah.
It felt right. It felt right. All right, you're the first taxidermist that I've had on the show, and I've actually been wanting to get one on for a while.
Yeah, well, I'm flattered.
So
I get to be the first.
Are you just popping cherries? Do you just do fish? Because I saw your post on a bluegill job you did that was just amazing, actually.
Yep, I specialize in just doing fish.
Okay, that's. That's pretty cool. I actually went to school for taxidermy right out of high school.
Yeah.
Did nothing with it.
like a lot of other guys that go to taxidermy school. Yeah.
Well, it turns out you need a little bit of startup capital, and
right.
I had none. So a little hard to do taxidermy without some essential equipment.
I hear you there.
Which I did not have, so it didn't happen. I don't really regret it. I think it would have been fun.
Yeah, I enjoy it.
I really enjoyed it when I did it. And the fun part about fish, I thought, as you get done and this is a skin mount. Do you do replicas at all or just skin mounts?
I do mostly skin mounts. I'd say probably 70% skin mounts or 70% replicas and about 30% skin mounts.
Is your preference a skin mount?
I would rather do replicas.
Oh, you would? Okay.
Yeah, it's just I can get them done faster. It's a lot less mess.
Well, that part is 100% true. I mean, I haven't done a replica, but I can imagine not having to scrape the skin and get the thing.
You don't have that whole mess to get rid of in your garbage in the middle of the summer when it's 90 degrees outside.
You don't have to worry about 75% of the crappie scales falling off because you touched it too many times.
Crappies are the worst.
They are the worst. the worst. It's like, oh my God.
So many levels.
It's like, stop. You're looking at it too hard. They're going to fall off. Yeah.
There are a lot of guys will cut the head right off a crappie and skin them that way.
Mm-hmm.
And put an artificial head on it.
Okay.
But I don't know. At that point, why not just get a replica?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, exactly. I mean, our instructor taught us, right away with a little bit of clay and a straw to replicate the scales, because they all fall off when you're flushing them or whatever. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah, I save the scales, and then I take super glue at the end before I paint them.
Wow.
And I slip them back in where they need to go with super glue. It's super tedious.
Oh, my God, that sounds terrible. Sounds terrible, but it speaks to your quality.
I mean, it's got to be done.
Yeah, exactly. It's very tedious. But the interesting thing I liked about the fish when I was doing them was how, you get done putting them on the form and they dry out and they're just like bland, black and white. They don't look like anything.
They don't look like a whole lot.
All their color's gone, right? And then like the very first like bit of base coat or clear coat, I don't really remember the order anymore, but it's like as soon as you apply anything, like that color just starts kind of coming out again. It's like, holy smokes.
Yeah,
that part was cool.
Just layer upon layer of color to get the right effect.
Yeah, because my first perch I did was like, I don't know what would be a good reference, like the Mimi Rogers, anybody that watched the Drew Carey show, if you're old enough, of the perch world, because I went like, oh, they're green, and they're orange. It's like, oh, my God, I just made a clown. That thing looks like
But hey, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah,
though.
It was basically the red light district version of a peacock bass when I was done. It was not good. It was bad. But yeah, then I realized less was more, and the next few ones I did turned out decent. So I wouldn't go as far as say good, but they were decent.
Yeah, it so. Takes a lot of time and practice to get good at, just like anything else.
Yeah, so how long have you been doing it?
Well, I kind of taught myself how to do skin mounts when I was 14 years old, I think.
Really?
I did small batches for friends and family like through the years. But just really got serious about it maybe 7-8 years ago.
All right.
About 5 years ago, I kind of set a goal for myself because I wanted to get out of doing auto body stuff. So I was like, well, if I can be doing just fish within the next 5 years, I'll be happy. And it only took about 2 years, and I got busy enough to be doing fish full time.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah. Were you like, so you're self-taught, like, run us through that process. Like, you were watching YouTube videos, or did you buy books, or like what? Like
back then, I don't even think there was YouTube.
Okay, I didn't know how. I don't.
It was mostly books from the library, and I ordered some just really cheesy little taxidermy manuals from the supply company. I kind of just dug into it and I taught myself with books.
Did you go through Van Dyke's or who was
it? I think it was Wasco at the time.
Okay.
I think Van Dyke's and Wasco all merged together with McKenzie now. So it's all one big
McKenzie,
company.
That was the other one I forgot about. Yeah, McKenzie was the big one for fish for sure. When did you break into your, like, when was your first replica that you did? So for me, the thing with replicas, I've never done one, but I, with my experience with a skin mount where that, like I said, those patterns and that kind of color kind of comes through and gives you a little bit of a paint by number thing to do.
Right.
Well, with a replica, you got nothing. That's a blank slate.
Yeah, like, you're starting with a white gel coated blank slate.
Like, you got to add everything. That to me, that seems like it would be harder, but maybe not. I don't know.
I mean, if you learn the technique called antiquing, which is basically you're laying down a like either black or brownish black wash over the whole replica, and then you take steel wool or a scuff pad and you scuff it to knock down all the high spots. That'll give you most of your detail.
Okay.
Most of your scale detail.
Hot pro tip.
Yeah.
for all the backyard taxidermists out there.
Not afraid to give away some tips. I mean, with YouTube and the internet nowadays, it's pretty easy to like find the advanced techniques out there. Most guys are willing to share.
Maybe you need to start a TikTok channel.
Yeah.
That's the new thing, man. You can make money doing it. You might, so like, all you have to do is set up a camera while you're doing it. Mm-hmm. Put some music behind it. You got like type it up. It has those auto reader function thingies on there. So
sure, if I started a YouTube channel, I could get a pretty good following on that too.
That too. You could use them both. Use the TikTok to bring people to your YouTube channel and boom. Next thing you know, you're just cutting bad checks from TikTok. Just wear a thong or something. You'll be super huge. That seems to be the thing.
Fish in the banana hammock.
Yeah, I'm not sure it works with guys, but sure seems to be pretty successful with the ladies.
All right.
Like, dude, not too far off the subject, but I don't know if you go on TikTok at all, but I...
I don't do TikTok.
I do, unfortunately, and it's a huge time suck, so don't get into it. But it's crazy to me how the most benign random shit has like hundreds of thousands of views. I don't get it. I do not understand. Like, how did this get popular? But anyways, all right, we'll get back on subject.
Like those pineapple haired kids in Florida.
Oh, island boys. That's hilarious. Yeah, that's a perfect example. Well, at least they're a freak show. I mean, that I get. Like, one of the big things about TikTok is people just lip syncing. Like, they lip sync to I don't know, like different scenes out of a movie or whatever, and like that's what they do, and they're huge. And then lately I've been noticing there's a bunch of pages that are literally just movie scenes. Like, I don't even know how they get away with doing that. Like, how is that not, like,
isn't that copyrighted or something?
Yeah, I like, how do they not get shut down for that? And these pages have, like I said, they're like tens of thousands of followers and views. It's like, they're not creating anything. They're just reposting somebody else's work. Like, how is that okay? I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't get that either.
It's just nuts. But anyways, what's your favorite fish to do?
Favorite fish? I'd say bass. I'm a big bass guy. I like bass fishing.
That a boy. Yeah, I knew you were cool. It's a good thing you didn't say gravel carp. We had words.
I do so many walleyes and crappies. When I get to do a bass, I'm like, yes, sweet.
Yeah, people don't keep them much.
Yeah, sure. Mostly replicas of bass, which is nice.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's true too. Yeah, what do people usually get? Like, what's their, when you're doing a replica? Like, what are people's like trophy level? Like, when you start, people bring something to you. Is it like a 20-inch bass, 21-inch bass? Like, what's the most common trophy size?
Yeah, 20-inch plus.
Okay.
Usually fish around that 6-pound range. I get a lot of those.
That's a good one in Minnesota, boy.
I've got a Minnesota bass replica right now that I'm working on. 24 and a half inches.
Ooh, a green one or brown one?
A green one.
Oh, my God.
That's probably about an 8.5-pounder.
Dude, that's a giant.
The thing is crazy big.
And that's a replica, so they just gave you the measurements and some pictures?
Yeah.
That's cool. Dude. That's a giant.
One of the best things about my job is seeing all the big fish that come in. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, that was the other. Didn't you just do a giant flathead catfish?
A 45-incher.
How was that? Was that a replica or was that a skin mount?
That was a replica.
Okay, because I've always heard that catfish are like a huge pain in the ass. Skin mount wise,
I'll never skin mount a catfish or trout for that matter. They're so oily,
right? But it still seemed like even that. So I was following your post, and it sounded like it was quite the endeavor to get that flathead done. Like what?
Yeah, just working on fish that big just takes longer than like panfish and stuff like that.
More paint, obviously,
and. If you've ever seen a flathead catfish, they have so many crazy markings and vermiculations and everything in their skin that it takes forever to paint.
Yeah, you don't really think about it. Did you get good pictures to go with it?
I didn't have the greatest picture, but I found a couple good photos online, and I had another buddy send me a few pictures of flathead that he had, that he caught. And he caught some that were real similarly colored to this one. Okay. So I had some good photos to work from.
Well, that's good. Do you find that do you have to fill in the blanks a lot? Like when people just don't take great pictures, or like, do you even get some people that request like, here's this, like, you know, depending on like, let's a walleye for example, depending on the lake you get it out of, that thing can be like gray.
Or real golden, or super pale yellow.
Like
a lot of the river fish are real
doesn't
pale,
look great at all.
Mississippi.
Do they want it to look like that, or do they want that stereotypical black and gold?
Typically, people want it to look like the fish they caught.
Okay, that's good. That I actually think that's good because that's how I would be. I would feel
right.
Like,
yeah, I like customers like that.
Yeah, if you paint it different, it's like that ain't the fish you caught, buddy. You know, I had a big pike that I had caught in Mille Lacs. I got a replica of it, and to the point, like he had some battle wounds on him. Like he had a bunch of just marks on his back, and I made sure to take pictures of it. I sent the guy I brought it to. I was like, I want this on there.
Right. Yeah. Some people don't want that kind of thing. I usually, when I look at their photo of their fish and it's got big scars or like lamprey marks on muskies, I'll usually ask them if they want that on there. Some guys do. Some guys don't. But, yeah, you know.
I'd put it on there for sure. I mean,
yeah,
that's
I
like,
try to make it look exactly like their fish is the goal.
That's a badge of honor, man. Like,
right.
I was talking to an African safari guy, and he was like, you know, everybody comes down here and they want these like high fence lines. Nobody wants a wild lion. And I was like, really? That seems opposite. I would feel like the drive would be like a wild and free, you know, whatever lion. He's like, no, because wild lions are beat to shit.
Constantly
fighting, scars everywhere, you know, their manes are patchy, they're this, that, and the other thing. I'm like, that just makes me want a wild one even more. Like, to me, you know, having scar on your in your trophy
animal's
room,
got a story to tell.
Hell yeah. I don't want, you know, I don't want this like pampered
look like a baby that's all right.
I mean,
cage.
Sure, it's a wonderful specimen of you know, that good representation of that species or whatever, but it's like, that's, I mean, I don't know. That's just me personally. Like, give me the battle worn, battle scarred, lived tooth and claw. Like, that's what I would want. So yeah,
I'm with you there.
You catch a giant fish, I want it. I want to see it like that for sure. I actually saw somebody got one. I don't, maybe you did. I don't remember who did the taxidermy round, but somebody had like, it was like a triple lobed bluegill, not lobe, but like the tail.
Yeah, that was a bluegill replica that I just recently did.
Oh, that you did do that one. Okay.
Yeah.
That was kind of trippy. How did you do that one? Did you have to glue on a tail piece? Because they don't make molds like that.
Yeah, I had to cut a section out of the original tail and then kind of splice in. I used like a piece of a fin.
Was it a skin mount?
That was a replica.
Oh, it was. Okay. That was nuts. I never seen anything like that.
Yeah, that's the first one I've seen like that.
How big was it?
I would say 10.5 inches.
Yeah, it looked like it was a decent sized bluegill too.
Yeah.
What's the smallest fish you've done?
Smallest? I've done little bait fish just to accompany a fish in
a
mount.
Yeah.
But other than that, I've done probably about a 4.5 inch green sunfish.
Really?
It was a guy's kid's first fish.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Had to get it mounted.
Sure. That makes sense. I was going to get an 8.5 inch crappie done. Because it's the biggest 8.5 inch crappie of all time. So my Minnesota made partner, Joel, a couple years ago, we were fishing Clearwater. And we ended up winning that day, but like almost didn't. Like for the most of the day, we didn't have our limit and we were short some crappies. And I'm not sure if you're too familiar with our tournament structure, but it's 7 and 7, and then, you know, 7 gills, 7 crappies. And if you have that, you get a bonus fish. So we still needed 3 crappies, I believe. And then, you know, we're jumping around and we went back to the spot. All of a sudden I catch, it's like 1:30, you know, like day's almost over. And all of a sudden I catch another crappie. I was like, oh, hell yeah. Like I got, this might happen. And then, you know, Joel catches one and then he catches a little one. And he said he almost threw it back. But he's like, because they have to be a minimum of 8 inches. The crappies do. Okay. 8 inches for crappies, 7 inches for bluegills. And so he's like, I better measure it just in case. And that thing was 8.5 inches. And that gave us our 7 crappies. So we were able to weigh 8 bluegills. So what we call a goofy bag in the league. Because, you know, in a perfect world, you'll weigh 8 crappies and 7 bluegills because crappies generally weigh more than bluegills. But yeah, so then that we ended up winning that day. And I was like, dude, I was going to actually have that 8.5 inch mounted and then give it to him as a gift. And then I just gotten in the mode of cleaning, and I zipped right through it and didn't even think about it. I was like, oh, shh. Didn't even realize it till like the next day. I was like, oh, crap, I cleaned that fish. So I actually called around and see if somebody would be able to get a replica of one. They're like, nobody makes a mold that small. I was like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, why would they?
Yeah. If I remember, I'll do some checking around. There might be one that small.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it, but I was like, well, whatever, that ship has sailed. it would have been funny. It would have been.
Right.
It would have had a really good story to go along with it. But
for sure.
Yeah. Man. So you like fishing for bass, you personally. Is that generally, if you go out, that's what you're doing?
Yeah, usually in the summer, that's mostly what I do is bass.
Right on. You fish any tournaments or anything like that? Just for fun.
Yeah, the last 2-3 years I fished a league with a buddy, a Wednesday night Greenhorn League.
Oh, Greenhorn League. Okay, right on.
Yeah, did pretty good. Last year we finished tied for second.
Nice.
So not too bad.
No, not too bad at all. Is that that's a team event?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I haven't done that. I haven't done any team events yet. That would be fun though.
Yeah, I like it. I like fishing competitively.
Same. See, I just like, it's like if I'm not guiding someone or I'm not pre-fishing for a tournament or fishing a tournament, it's like if I don't have anything going that day and it's just a wide open day to go fishing, you know, most people be like, oh, great, you can just go fun fishing. I actually have a hard time getting motivated. Like, I get really lazy. And it's just like, yeah, I probably should go fishing, I guess. Yeah, it's just like, I don't know. I like having that extra something to fish for. You know, it's like,
right.
I've caught fish. You know, it's not that like I don't like catching fish. Obviously, I do. And once I've finally dragged, you know, those cases happen, and I finally drag my carcass out of bed, and I get in the car, and I go to the lake, and I go fishing. I have a great time. And I'm like, fine. Thank God I went out here. This is way better than sitting on the couch. But I've caught fish before. So it's not like, unless I'm doing something new and different, I just don't really get super fired up about it unless I have like a higher purpose. Like I said, you're guiding or there's a tournament. And I'm a competitive person, so I love tournaments. I want to do more of them, honestly. But
yeah, same here. I jump into a tournament any chance I get.
Yeah, I need to just like, I think I found a couple last year. I'm pretty sure I follow them on Facebook. I need to just kind of start looking around, but there's all sorts of just cash ones. You know, you just show up at the launch the day of, give them $40 and you're in, you know, like I just need to do more of that. But with that said, I also want to, you know, still chasing the, you know, angle of the year for my club, Loon State. And so I, you know, I haven't won that yet. I came in second 1 year. Last year I didn't take it. Well, I missed two events. So that didn't help. But I, you know, I'd like to take that trophy home 1 year so that I, you know, even though it's a club event, I take them pretty serious. You know, I pre-fish them and, you know, I want to do really well. So that's high on my list of things to do too. So if I fish cash tournament, that's taken away from pre-fishing. So, and therein lies my dilemma.
Yeah. Yeah. Me and a couple friends fished a crappie tournament the other weekend. It was 2 weeks ago on Minnetonka.
Oh, on Tonka. Was that Making Memories one?
That was it.
Okay. How'd you do?
Yeah, there's some serious hammers that fish that one.
Hell yeah.
But out of 42 boats, we got seventh.
There you go.
So, or actually fifth. We got seventh last year. This year we got fifth. Oh, so we're moving in the right direction on that tournament.
That's against some real sticks out there. Holy smokes.
Oh, yeah.
That ain't no joke. Where'd you end up finding? I don't mean spots. Like what, like depth of water? Like what was the pattern?
Yeah, we were fishing between 7 and 10 feet.
Okay. Because it was still pretty cold then, wasn't it?
Yeah. That day was super cold and rainy. The water was only maybe 45 degrees, if that.
Yeah, that water warmed up quick.
Yeah, now it's like 65.
Well, it's supposed to be like 90 degrees tomorrow, so God knows what it'll be this weekend.
Yeah, we'll get the fish fired up.
Yeah, well, I'm sure like Memorial Day weekend it'll be snowing or something because Mother Nature is just bipolar.
Yeah,
you can't make it remind.
See that happening.
We've had no spring. Like it's just it went to from winter to summer, and
yeah,
hopefully it'll kind of dial it back, but I'm not gonna hold my breath. You just never know. I mean, what last year, because this weekend's Minnesota opener, and last one, wasn't it snowing last year?
Oh, yeah. I was fishing smallmouth bass in the snow last opener.
Where'd you go for that?
It was brutal. I went just north of Mille Lacs.
Oh, okay. Right on. I think I know what lake it is.
I think a lot of people know what lake it is.
Yeah, probably.
I actually grew up on that lake. Freaking awesome.
Really? That's a fun lake.
My grandparents used to live on it.
Thinking about it, it's a fun lake.
We'll keep the name of that one out of the situation.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that. If it's the lake I think of, and I could be mixing up two lakes, but I'm pretty sure it's the same one. You know, we caught a bunch of largemouth on there 1 year. Is it the same lake? I might be mixing this up, but it's another lake in that area if it's not the same lake. And the largemouth we were catching, they look like spots. Now, I know we're not supposed to have spotted bass in this state.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen largemouth with red eyes before either. So I don't know what the hell was going on. But they didn't look completely like spots, you know, because I have caught spots before fishing down south. But
yeah, just the markings on them are real vibrant.
Well, and they're different. You know, they actually have like, you know, below the lateral line marker, they have spots. You know, there's just like a speck on each scale almost, whereas like largemouth don't really have that, you know, and their bar markings kind of go above and below their lateral line kind of.
Right.
And that doesn't really happen with spots. But no, these bass, they legitimately had red eyes. I'm talking red, red, not just like a red tint, like rock bass red. So yeah, I don't know.
I've seen that too with largemouth coming out of like really cold water.
Yeah, but it was fairly early, but it wasn't like crazy early. And maybe that was the thing. But they were up in shallow water. It was up this big rocky flat, and they were up pre-spawning, I think. So it had to be late May. I don't know. It was weird. I hadn't caught a largemouth like that in Minnesota. I was like, this is kind of tripping me out. I should go back through my pictures. I'm sure I have a picture of one somewhere. But I was like, I don't know. Maybe they're just mixed with... Maybe there's some smallmouth bass genes in there somewhere down the line. I don't know. It was weird.
Never know.
But it was like we got multiples like that. So it's like this apparently is just what the largemouth looked like in this lake. And it was crazy.
Huh.
Yeah, it was pretty wicked. That would be one. Well, how would you do that? You'd have to like, I guess you'd just buy a red eye, huh? And pop it in there.
Paint your own eyes for it.
How is that? Like, how do you paint an eye to make it look real?
They make blank eyes with just the pupil painted in there already.
Okay.
And you just paint them from the inside.
Oh, you paint them from the inside. I was like, do you then have to go over it with the clear coat a bunch of times to get that look? But painting from the inside, that makes sense.
Yeah, it's basically just in a glass or acrylic lens that gets painted from the inside.
All right, that looks...
I almost prefer to paint my own eyes. It really? Takes it to that next level.
Sure, get a little more realism in there.
But it's super tedious.
Do you like the tedious stuff, though? Like, I feel like, you know, when it comes to, like, art, you know, whether it's a painting or a sculpture, it's like, yeah, it's tedious, it takes a long time, but I think, like, when you're done and you actually step back... You're like, right. Okay, I'm glad I went through all the bullshit.
Yeah, you look at the finished product and it's like, yep.
Yeah, that looks
way nicer than just doing a quickie with all store-bought, pre-made stuff.
Yeah, like in the moment where you're sitting there and, you know, you got like a paint pen and you're like putting a dot on literally every little scale tip, you know, because the guy who did my pike was doing that and I was like, oh my God, but I've got to tell you, it looks amazing. I mean, if you just try to do that with an airbrush, it would not look as good. Yeah. There's no way.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about is the scale tipping.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys don't do that, but to me, I think it's a necessity on a lot of different species. That scale tipping just brings that fish to life.
Yeah, for sure. Well, it did on that pike for sure. Like he did a really good job on it. The only part that sucked is, and I didn't even notice it. So it was a 42 inch pike, I believe. Was it 44? 42 or 44? I don't remember now. Yeah, really good one. Got on Mille Lacs through the ice, 6 pound test. It was great.
No, nice.
Yeah, and Doug Glimmerveen from the SmackDown Outdoor podcast was at my house. We were recording a podcast and he's looking at that fish. He's like, that's 42 inches. I'm like, yeah. He's like, man, I feel like I've caught one that big before. Then I'm like, I don't know. I guess I never measured it. I mean, I told him it was, you know, 42 and he ordered a 42 inch blank, I guess. Like, sure as shit. Grab a tape measure. And no, that thing was like 38 inches.
Oh no.
I was like, oh crap. Ignorance was bliss. Like, I mean, I was super happy with it, you know what I mean? Until right. I found out it wasn't, you know, so I contacted him, and he made it right, you know, and he was like, well, do you want your money back, or do you want, you know, me to do another one. And I said, God, I hate being this guy, but that's not my fish. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I was like, now that I know it's not the right measurement,
now we have an issue.
Yeah, it's gonna bug me. So I'm like, I mean, the good news is if somebody brings you a 38, you got one done. Like,
there you go.
Like, your turnaround time on that one's gonna be amazing.
Yeah,
they'd be like, holy crap!
Next day, that sucker.
Right? They're like, holy crap! That was really fast. But yeah, that part did suck. But what are you gonna do? He's like, I ordered a 42. I guess from now on, I guess I'm gonna have to start double checking them when they send them to me. I guess it's not, because like I've never really had that issue before, and I believed him. Yeah. You know, it just was like, it's just a shitty situation.
I recently did a 40-inch pike for a guy, and he put his order in well over a year ago, and I told him like a 6 to 8 month turnaround, and a mix-up from the blank company. I didn't catch it right away. They sent me 2 30-inchers when I ordered a 30-inch and a 40-inch.
Oh, no.
It took me a while to figure out, why do I got the second 30-incher?
Going through all your orders, like, did I miss this one?
That was supposed to be a 40-incher.
Oh, no.
But at least I caught that one.
Yeah.
And I didn't paint that as a 40-incher.
That's crazy. Did you – no, I've seen your name floating around. Like, some – you've donated, I think, a couple things to – was it HHO or Future Anglers of Minnesota? Or both? Am I?
I've donated a couple of free mounts to Hometown Heroes.
Oh, I think it was Hometown Heroes. Okay, that makes
sense. And also the Memories Made tournament. I've donated to there a couple times.
Right on. That's super cool.
Various other fishing contests and like silent auction stuff.
Right. Oh, that's great.
Try to give back when I can.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. And we definitely appreciate it for the HHO stuff. That stuff's pretty cool. Being able to have that event is just so cool already. And then having that option, you know, it's like Big Fish gets a replica or something like that. That just makes it even cooler yet. Like, that's
for sure.
That event is just growing and growing. Like, it just has taken a life of its own. Like, it's a thing. It's a thing now. Had pretty meager, humble beginnings, but it has turned into a thing.
And that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. I'm pretty stoked about it. I like all my HHO peeps.
Yeah, they're a great cause too.
Oh yeah, for sure. And run by just salt of the earth people too. I mean, it makes it an organization that, like, you're not just okay with helping out, but you actually look forward to and any excuse to help them out, pretty much.
For sure.
So if anybody here is listening and has not gone and, you know, to the Hometown Heroes Facebook page and followed it, go do it now. Unless you're driving, wait till you get home. But yeah, it's a great organization. So you never branched. Have you branched out any other taxidermy, birds or anything like that? Do you have any interest?
When I was younger, I tried to do a squirrel. I tried to do a rabbit. I tried to do a duck. I got about halfway through and just ended up throwing the thing in the garbage.
Yeah, ducks are tough.
I may have left it in my parents' freezer. I don't know. That was a long time ago.
Yeah, getting that fat off the ducks, that's a whole nother thing.
Oh,
man.
Yeah. I had a beautiful mallard I was going to do, just a big drake. And I just, fleshing the thing was just not my forte.
Yeah. It's.
I didn't have the right tools to do it.
That's
just
the thing.
It just didn't happen.
Yeah. If you didn't have like that wire wheel thing, like that's like, that's key, man. I don't know how you would do one without it, but. Yeah, I did some in school. Again, the first couple ones are just an absolute disaster. I don't think any of mine have survived over the years, multiple moves. But I mean, I know the first one I did was a mallard, and oh my god! Instead of fitting the skin to the form, I just kept making the form bigger because of like the skin was so loose because I'd stretch it out in the fleshing process. This thing looked like a feathered submarine with the mallard head on it. It was so long. It was so stupid. Oh, it was so dumb. My sister wanted it. I'm like, well, you can have it if you want it, I guess. She's like, I think it looks good. It's like, thankfully you don't know what a mallard looks like, apparently, because it don't look like that. But I did a buffalo head that actually turned out pretty good. And that,
yeah, those are cool birds.
Yeah, I carted that around with a few different moves, and I think one move the head popped off or something. I don't remember exactly what the fate of that one was, but it ended up dying too. So, but like I said, I never did anything with it, and I still toy around with the idea from time to time because I need another hobby, like a hole in the head. But every now and again, I get a hair up my ass. I'm like, God, maybe I should get back into it. Just doing birds, just like for myself or for friends, just for, you know, in the wintertime. But honestly, I haven't really had that thought since I joined Minnesota Made. That pretty much takes up all of my spare time in the winter. If I'm not fishing tournament, I'm pre-fishing for it and every single minute of free time that I have. So, but there's stuff like pheasants where, you know, you don't really have to flush those. I feel like those would be pretty easy.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. Is there anything you're working towards? Like, you have some like bucket list fish you want to do?
I did a peacock bass. That was a bucket list. One turned out pretty sweet.
Okay, you did do one. I mean, I guess you don't really need somebody to bring you fish. I mean, that's the beauty of replicas, right?
Yeah,
you can just order, like, hey, I feel like painting up a, I don't know.
It'd be pretty cool.
Roosterfish, you know, like, I'll just order a roosterfish plank.
I think it'd be pretty cool to do like a arapaima.
Oh yeah,
those things are just badass.
Dude, they're so badass, and the way that their little red scales or red outlines of their scales, that's
so cool,
so dope. I would love to go catch one. That's bucket list for sure. Maybe I'll go down to South America. I'll get you one.
Yeah, it'd be pretty cool to get a group together and go down to the Amazon.
Heck yeah! Oh man, that would be dope. Yeah, and
save up about 10 G's first.
Yeah, it's not cheap, but man, it would be worth it. Well, and again,
that would be so cool.
Save up more for the taxidermy bill too, because I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I'm a huge waterfowler too, so it's like, if I, you know, you go up to Alaska or you go to Argentina for the, you know, these exotic ducks. Well, we call them exotics; they're just the ducks they have down there. But you're going down there for trophies too. Like, you're not just going there to shoot birds. You know, you want to bring some stuff back. So it's like,
yeah,
you have
exactly.
to factor in, you know, the extra money for that. And I would for sure be doing that if I went to South America. Like, the arapaima would be great, but anywhere down along the Amazon would just be so crazy awesome. All the different kind of catfish species they have down there.
Right.
Just everything, man. The different kinds of piranha. The arapaimas, the arowanas, the wolffish, I think they got those down there.
Yeah.
Dorado, like, dude, so much. Like, just so many things. Like, you'd have to go down there for like 10 days.
Oh, yeah, a weekend wouldn't cut it.
No.
Not even close.
There's no way. There's just no freaking way.
Like, it'd be cool to do like a houseboat tour down the river.
Yep.
And then they got fishing guides that'll take you right off of that boat and take you fishing.
Yeah, they tow like,
they cook all your meals and everything.
Yep.
That would be such a fun trip.
They just tow like a couple fishing boats behind the houseboat.
Yep.
That would be the way to do it, man. That would be amazing. And then, you know, you're on the boat, so you don't have to worry about scorpions and spiders crawling in your sleeping bag at night. So I feel like that's a plus.
Exactly.
That's a win. Although I'm kind of into all that shit too, but I don't not necessarily want to cuddle up to one in the middle of the night. But
no.
I'd probably want to stomp around the jungle looking for poisonous snakes or something stupid. That's kind of what I do. I know I'm weird like that, but I'm into all that shit. But hell no, you can go to Florida and have a hell of an exotic trip. Now that, like, it's just a melting pot of species down there now.
Right,
people can't stop letting shit go. You got reticulated pythons, you got Burmese pythons down there, all the different fish species. Like, that's actually on, like, next year I'm doing that. So I went to Florida this year and we fished for bass, but then every pond has like tilapia and like Mayan cichlids in it. It's just crazy. And then all these different canals, you get knife fish, and those would be a fun one, I think, to paint up.
Yeah, those look pretty cool.
Those look pretty cool. As far as I know, those are only in one lake, that Lake Ida, just outside of Miami, I think.
Yeah, that's the only problem with exotic stuff like that. It's a lot of people want a replica of it, and it's super hard to find blanks.
Really? I mean, I've seen a lot to choose from. They probably don't have a lot of them, but I've seen them. I mean, people are getting them done for sure.
Yeah, I know of a couple different blanks that are out there.
They must be more and more popular they get, I suppose, maybe. Companies will start pumping out more. Have you ever made your own, like made a mold?
No, I haven't messed with actually molding and casting my own fish yet.
Yet, there's the magic word.
Maybe yet. Someday. my book right now is thick, so I don't see it happening anytime soon.
I mean, but think that you make the molds and then you get to just sell the molds. You don't have to do any of the work, and you're gonna make that much more money.
Yeah, I've got a buddy in South Dakota that does that, so I've been sending him fish.
Sending stuff for that?
Yeah.
All right, well, maybe if I get down there and I catch one of those big... You want me to save you a big knife fish for a mold?
Could do it. Probably.
Sound reluctant.
Pass. probably not the most lucrative blank to do.
Well, supply and demand, you can charge a lot for it.
Right.
There's not many, right? I assume that's how it is. Are they more expensive?
Usually the blanks run just a certain cost per inch.
No matter the fish.
Yeah, it's usually around $7 to $10 per inch, no matter the fish.
All right.
Some blanks are a lot better quality than others.
I need to get you like a nice big, like a 70-pound tarpon, too. You can...
That would be cool. I've been wanting to do a tarpon.
Really? That'd be kind of...
I've been wanting to do a redfish, too, which I might have one of those coming up soon.
Well, that I can... I have a couple nice ones I've already caught. I mean,
yeah.
But it would be expensive. I got some that are like 44 inches. So,
that's a good one.
Yeah, that's an expensive one. there's a like. What do you charge for? Like, what would that be?
$25 an inch. Times, you do the math.
Yikes! I don't want to.
It was a lot easier when I was charging $20 an inch math. But now I bumped my prices up this year.
Got
to
divide it
by four. Now I use a calculator.
Right, yeah. Just divide it by four. So it's 40, so that's 10. There's 1,000, and then another four, right. So there's another 25. So it's
1,025. Yeah.
Oof. It'd be cool, though. I mean,
that would be cool to have on the wall.
I caught like a 38-inch tagged one last fall.
That's cool.
Yeah. I'm actually going to, we fish out of Charleston, South Carolina. My brother lives down there in his boat. I'm actually headed there Sunday. Pretty excited about that.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, if I had an extra grand laying around, I'd make it a point to go to get you one. Like I said, I could use one. I've caught a few of them now over 40, so I got some good specimens. But I suppose at this point, I kind of wait. I think I need to wait for a 50-inch here. That'd be a good one. Because, honestly, 40s aren't that uncommon.
So, yeah, I wouldn't know. I've never caught one or fished for them.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind getting a smaller one. If you get one that's got, like, there's some that get, like, crazy-looking spots.
Right.
And I haven't caught one of these yet, but there's some, they call them leopards, and they're literally just spotted throughout. Their whole side is spotted. They look so cool.
That'd be a fun paint job.
All right. That would be cool. So, I haven't ever seen like a really big one of those. So if I catch like a, 24 incher or something, it's like, do that. That wouldn't be too expensive and be super neat.
Really cool. That would be cool.
So I'll keep an eye out for that. We'll get you one of those.
Sounds good.
Yeah. And I do have the ability to get you a redfish if you so wish. Take a trip to Charleston. I can make it happen.
It's on the bucket list. As soon as they start stocking arapaima down there,
I'm going. That's it. We don't need that. They're probably down there already. I would not be surprised.
Those things would just eat everything.
Oh, my God. What else is new? Everything down there eats everything. I actually think it wasn't that long ago I saw somebody caught an Amazonian catfish in one of those ponds.
Yeah.
It was... can't remember the name of it, but it's one that has a real long, like, shovel nose, and, like, they're silver with black, like, almost tiger striping on it. They're really cool looking.
Probably someone's pet at one point.
Oh, I'm sure, because I know I've seen them in pet stores before. They get huge, and yeah. I'm sure it outgrew somebody's tank, and boop, into the pond it goes. And you just need one other person to do that, and if they're both male and female, we have a problem.
Yep.
So I would not be surprised at all if someday arapaima is our thing in South Florida. It just seems like that's the place to drop shit off. It's like the world's lost and found for jungle species. Oh, it's so weird. It's just, I don't get it. But not everything can live there, because it's warm, but it's not that warm. Like, they do get, you know, they're far enough north that they still get some cold spells, and you're true, like, equatorial species just can't quite cut it. Right. You know, another cool one would be is like a tigerfish from the Congo.
Oh yeah, that'd be cool.
Dude, those things are like demon striped bass.
Yeah,
that's basically what they look like. Yeah, just like they almost look like cartoon teeth. Like if you're drawing a monster fish, like that's what you would, the kind of teeth you'd draw. They don't look real. Like they don't, like, those aren't fish teeth. What the hell? Like, there's not another fish in the world that has teeth like that. Those things are crazy. Ooh, or the payara. That's one we can catch in South America. I forgot about those. The vampire fish.
Right, yeah, those are cool.
Dude, those are crazy. Those are crazy. I actually think those would be, like, have a, do some, like, beetle work on a skull of one of those, I think, would be pretty crazy.
Right.
To actually see the teeth, like, going up into the slots in the head.
Yeah.
That would be nuts. So you're into tournament fishing. Have you got into competitive ice fishing yet?
I have not.
I mean, probably have a couple openings in Minnesota made this year.
Other than like the Lions Club, you know, little
tournaments. Oh, yeah.
Contest.
The contest, you know, yeah.
It's more of a drawing than a...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Fishing.
Yeah, Minnesota Made is not that. Get a partner. Get a team together. Yeah. It's super fun, man. I love it.
I've had a few buddies hounding on me to join those.
Do it.
That's just a big commitment.
It is. I'm
usually busy with work.
Yeah, I won't blow smoke up your ass. It is a commitment. And if you want to be competitive, you gotta
put in the time.
You gotta put in the time. There is a definite correlation to hours spent pre-fishing to success, like, for sure.
Exactly.
For sure. But it is also a great way to up your just ice fishing game. Like,
you learn a lot fishing stuff like that.
You learn so much. I mean, I thought I was a pretty good angler already. Like when I joined, like my buddy Joel and I joined because we basically fished tournament style when we were just fishing for fun. Like we were never satisfied with just, you know, going to the community hole and catching dinkers,
you want to find the pot of big fish.
We're always finding our own fish. We're looking for bigger fish. Like we're just never, you know, we're like, we should do this. Like we are, but this is what we do anyways. Like nothing's going to change. We're already fishing every weekend. We might as well see where we stack up, you know? And it's like, that first year learned so much. Like I never, ever would have thought about fishing for bluegills in the wintertime in 3 feet of water. But there I was. Because that's where we found them. It's like, holy crap.
They're bigger than the ones that are hanging out in 30 feet.
Oh, it's just nuts. I mean, it's nuts. Like, and I would say, like, takeaway, every year I do it, you know, you learn more and more, you know, as soon as you think you have these things dialed in, you don't. Like, it's just crazy to me how lake to lake it can be so different.
Yeah.
Like so different. Same time of year, same everything. And one lake across the street, you gotta fish the basin, and they're all basin fish roamers. There's nothing in shallow, nothing in the weeds, or there aren't weeds, and then you go across the street, like literally across the street, and that lake has all of the fish are in 10 feet or less in the weeds.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Like, what? This doesn't even make sense. Like, what's going on here? Like,
That's quite the giant learning curve in fishing.
Oh, yeah. It's just
it's always changing, too.
Yeah, it's just so interesting that, like, how different every lake is. I don't know how else to put it. Like, it's just, you think, like, a bluegill's a bluegill. Like, this is what they do. This is what they do in the winter. They go here. You know, it's like, no, there are no hard and fast rules when it comes to fish or fishing. Like, they just, and they do what they want. And you just gotta let them tell you where they're at, pretty much, you know. Don't get stuck in that, like, oh, they should be here. I don't know why they're not here. Well, they're not. they're just not. So let's go somewhere else because this isn't working. we can bang our heads against the wall all we want. It's not going to put any more fish topside. So let's...
Why waste your time?
Let's move. Let's try something else. Yeah, that's nuts. So the moral of the story is you should get a team. You should get a team together. People can just extend your... wait time on your fish. It'll be fine. Just tell me here. It'll be fine. That'd be fun. Oh man, I should. You have like a showroom?
Yeah, I really don't have a showroom. I've got a garage I work out of. That half of it's like auto body stuff, and half of it's fish.
Oh, you still do some auto body stuff yet?
Yeah, I still do some custom paint work. Mostly like helmets and motorcycles nowadays.
Paint up a helmet that things. Looks like a big bluegill.
Right.
Sell that fucker on eBay, I guarantee it.
I've done some airplanes. I've done boats. I've done some pretty cool stuff.
Really? That'll be kind of cool. In the day of wrapping everything, people are still painting stuff?
There are still guys painting stuff.
Huh. I did not know that. That's kind of crazy. Wrapping seems all the rage.
Yeah, I mean, for bigger stuff,
yeah,
wrapping is the way to go.
Right,
but a lot of the Harley guys, they want paint.
Oh, I suppose. In fact, I don't know if anybody wraps a bike. I'm sure people do it, but when it comes to bike, I guess people
right, want. Yeah, that's got to be paint.
Yeah, people want custom paint for sure. I think you'd probably be like laughed out of Sturgis if you showed up with a wrapped bike, and you know it would be a rice burner too.
I have seen some wrapped bikes that actually look pretty good. Like, if you didn't know what you're looking for, you'd think it's paint.
Really?
The technology and vinyl film has come a long way.
I suppose. Dirty bastards. See Dork out, drink beers, and watch that Orange County Choppers. That was a pretty good show. I wasn't even a biker, and I liked that show. I was like, this is pretty cool.
That was a cool show.
The paint jobs are pretty cool, but like to me it was more like the fabrication stuff when they got real, like cutting stuff down or adding weird chrome, this, that, you know, making a dragon bike or making a whatever. I mean, whatever the thing was, like
pretty gnarly.
How they make that stuff work and custom shaped gas tanks, and it's like, what the heck, dude? The talent those guys have just blows me away.
That's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah, it is like super, super nuts. You ever get creative on your fish and just like paint something that doesn't exist just for shits and giggles? Like, I don't know. Paint a crappie on a perch body or something.
Yeah, usually stick to the customer's photo.
Yeah, I suppose. Well, no, yeah, I wouldn't say give a customer something weird, but just like in your own, you just feel like in a rut and you just want to do something different. You're just like, oh, I'm just going to fuck around.
Yeah, I haven't really felt like getting weird like that.
No?
No. Yeah.
Maybe I put it in your brain. We'll see. You're not doing the right drugs yet, I don't think. We'll get you there. No.
Yeah, here's your 47-inch muskie. Tiger slash largemouth.
Tiger stripe. Yeah. That'd be cool, though. I think that'd be neat. Now I know. Here's a fish. Here's a bucket list fish for me. And for sure, no matter what size, pretty much, the thing's going on the wall would be an Arctic char.
Oh, yeah,
in spawning colors. Like, oh, yeah. Holy crap. Bright
red.
Yeah, dude. Those things don't even look cool real, looking. Dude. Those things are crazy looking. Like, it's just nuts that something like that is out there swimming. It seems counterproductive. Like, something's going to eat you. You really stick out like a sore thumb. But I guess they're trying to be seen to get that loving on, I guess. I don't know. Yep. Grayling,
peacocking
are cool.
Peacocking it.
Yep, literally. Yeah, grayling are cool. Big brookies are cool.
Yeah, I've done a couple brookies. Those are fun.
Yeah, those got a lot going on for them.
Yeah, so, trout are fun to paint. The real colored up males.
Those little worm lines they got on them.
Yeah.
Those are pretty dope.
I've got my first sturgeon coming up here soon, too.
That'll be 72 inches. Because those things don't have a ton of... That's a big one. Those don't have a lot of color to them, so.
Yeah, they're kind of bland.
Yeah, there's not much going on there.
It should be interesting.
Texturing it would be a little difficult, I would think, though. You know, like, because they have that shark skin.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I've never done a replica of a sturgeon yet. So I'm hoping it's a good blank. I had to order it from a place I've never ordered from.
Uh-oh.
So we'll see what it looks like when it comes in. Sometimes they come in and they're pretty crude.
Yeah, obviously that, you know, that triple tail bluegill thing you had to, you know, custom modify that. But do you do much custom work? You know, if you get a blank, you just don't really like the way it looks. Do you add to it at all or modify it?
Yeah, sometimes. Mostly it's like on trout, like just adding a bigger kipe to the bottom jaw.
Oh, okay.
Or modifying fins. That kind of stuff.
I could see that. Right. I could see that.
There's guys that are good at like chopping and sectioning blanks and making it blend in to where it looks like no one ever messed with it. But I haven't gotten that far yet.
Do they? I mean, I suppose it depends on the fish, but like, let's say you catch a pre-spawn bass and that thing's just like pregnant, you know,
right. But,
you know, or one that's just feeding heavy or something where its gut is just ginormous. Do they make those blanks, or would you have to?
You might get lucky and find a real fat one like that. Otherwise, you'll have to like add to it, like, and carve in your own scales.
What would that process be like?
Well, you basically just body work. You know, a lot of guys will use Bondo.
Okay.
To extend the belly, and then carve in the scales. Old Dremel tool.
That would be a pain in the ass. That would just be so tedious. Would you be excited about a project like that, though? Would it be like, oh,
spend a whole week just prepping one blank?
Yeah, yeah. Would you be excited about that? Would that be like, oh, this is something new. This is a custom job. Or you'd be like, oh, God.
Yeah, probably something I wouldn't want to do.
Probably more later. probably more the latter. You're like, oh, fucking hell. Because, yeah, I suppose it's more work and you're not getting paid anymore.
Right.
It's like it's per inch, not per how fat they are. So
exactly.
You're making less money on that one. I suppose that would kind of suck. That's just nuts. So we already established you don't have a YouTube channel. You don't have a TikTok. Do you have a Facebook page?
I do have Facebook. That's primarily how I run my fish taxidermy business is Facebook.
Let's see if I'm fired up here and see if I'm following you yet. Well, I'm pretty sure I am your like personal page, but do you have a business page?
Yeah, I've got a business page. It's Angler's Touch Fish Art and Taxidermy.
Angler's Touch Taxidermy?
Yep.
Fish Art and Taxidermy.
That's the one.
Dude, that bluegill looks so...
I put the fish art in there. because replicas are really not considered taxidermy.
Oh, sure.
Like, taxidermy by definition is
Right.
the movement of skin.
Yeah, for sure.
There's a lot of back and forth fighting on some of the taxidermy
Oh,
pages on
I'm
social
glad
media about are replicas actually taxidermy
glad I pulled this one up
and
though.
not just arts and crafts.
Dude, it looks like that paint job is so good. Look at that bluegill. One that's right up on 11 and a half inch bluegill. Oh, it's a skin mount. 11 and a half. Man, that's a giant. Good
Yeah,
night.
I need to add some more photos in there. I haven't posted anything in there for a while.
That looks good. That crappie. Yeah, that's a reproduction. Yeah, I like your style. Like, it's very real. Like, a lot of the reproductions I see, they're almost hyper-colored, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? Like, they're almost, I don't know, this isn't a good way to say it. Like, they
Like,
almost look too
yeah,
good. They
like
almost,
overly painted.
yeah, they look too good. You know, you're just like, I
Right.
ain't never seen a crappie look like that. I mean, they don't look
Yeah.
bad. You know, they actually look really good, but it's like,
Yeah,
I ain't ever caught a crappie that look like that. You know what I mean? Like, these look like real. There's a Laker. Ooh, a Laker has got to be kind of fun. There's a lot going on there.
I stood a mount for a guy not too long ago with two lake trout on one piece. That was super cool.
All those little white splotches here, there, and everywhere.
No, lake trout take forever.
I bet. Oh yeah, so I'm looking at a pike here. It's got those gold scale tips on it. Oh my god, that would take forever, dude. Oh my god, that looks really good. That looks really good. You do very, very good work. And that's what, like, I noticed, which is why I reached out to you. And that's the hallmark of a good job too. And the closer you get to it, the
Yeah, I'm not afraid to post some close-up pictures.
yeah, it's almost more impressive the closer you get to it. That's
And photos never do justice to
pretty damn.
a good fish mount either. They're always a lot more impressive in person.
That's a really good rainbow too. I need a good rainbow. I caught a steelhead once up on the North Shore, but he wasn't that big.
Yeah.
It was 12 pounds, but as steelhead
That's a
goes, I
good size one.
yeah, as steelhead goes, it wasn't that big. But like, I've been down here, Rochester, I'll swing over to Whitewater and catch trout. I just love catching trout. They're so fun. They're so cool
Yeah,
looking.
there's
Even the little ones. Like, I'm just like,
yeah,
God dang, these
little
things are cool,
crazy
man.
guys.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. It would be kind of cool to have like a little stream diorama set up with like each of our trout, you know, a brookie, a brown, and a rainbow on it. Would be kind of neat.
That would be neat.
I think pretty sweet. So, all right, everybody, go and check out Angler's Touch Fish Art and Taxidermy on Facebook. Is that your only social media then? Are you on
Yeah.
Insta?
Nope,
You're
not on
on the gram?
Instagram. Just on the face page,
Oh my god,
Facebook.
dude, we gotta work on you here.
I
Your social media
don't
is
know. I don't
just
have time for
lacking,
all
buddy.
that.
Yeah,
Too busy painting
I suppose. Yeah, don't you got a
fish.
kid or something? You can be like, hey, you're my web guy.
Yeah.
Get that content out there. I know I'm bad at it too. I have a YouTube, but I don't ever put anything on it.
Yeah.
And that was like part of my plan. My original business plan was that, like putting out videos, and I just haven't got around to do it. You know, I need to get some more GoPros, and it's something I say I need to do, and I just don't do it.
Just gotta do it.
You do. It just comes down to,
You're
honestly, it
never
just
gonna
comes
do
down to personal discipline. Like, you
it.
just have to make it a job. Like,
Right.
as if you worked for somebody else. Like, you have to show up, you gotta do the work, you can't be late, and that's the
Yeah,
hard thing when you're doing it for yourself, is staying self-motivated.
exactly. Yeah, I'm fully self-employed and I like to fish,
Yeah,
so looking at big fish all day doesn't help.
that makes it tough. That definitely
But
makes it tough.
I love it. I feel like I'm living the dream,
Yeah, no, that's
doing
great.
what I love to do.
It's uh always, you know, it comes with its own challenges and its own stresses because, you know, the good and the bad of being your own boss. But I think most people I know that are have gone that route or wouldn't trade it. Like, they don't want to go back and work for somebody else and be a cog in the wheel and punch the time clock. And
nice having a real short commute to work.
Yeah, that too.
Save a lot of money on gas.
Yeah, and that is
huge nowadays.
Huge thing nowadays. Boy, I can. I'm super excited for my trip to South Carolina. What I am not excited about is filling that boat up with dock gas. That's gonna be.
It's gonna be an expensive summer in general if these prices stay the way they are or keep going up. You know,
at gas stations, they're gonna start having a loan officer desk at Quick Trip here pretty quick, just so you can get a what's the interest rate on the on a full tank? It's getting bad.
Right,
this is not good.
$200-$300 in gas for the truck and boat if
you
go out for a weekend.
I mean, honestly, that's why I'm going to South Carolina. When I did, I was just like, as I often do, just for shits and giggles, like I'll just throw dates into the, you know, look for flights, you know, just like not really expecting to find anything. And I found some, there was like $500 some. I was like, no, that's ridiculous amount. And then I'm pretty much my own boss too. Like, I choose when I want to work. So I was like, I don't have to go on a weekend. Like, so I punched in like a Sunday through a Thursday and I found a one way to Charleston from Minneapolis, which is really rare. And then it was under $200. And I was like, shit, I can't drive to Northern Minnesota and back for $200 right now. Like,
shit, no.
Fuck, I'm going, I'm doing it. I got a free place to stay. I got a boat I can use. Like, hell yeah, I'm out of here.
Nice.
So while everybody's out here playing bumper boats, fishing for gravel carp in Minnesota, I'm gonna be fighting with bull reds and sharks. It's gonna be great.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a ton of fun, actually. I love it. The more salt water I fish, the more I want to fish it.
Yeah,
it's a new challenge. You know, I don't get to do it all the time, so it's like I like figuring out new things, and I've been doing a ton of research. Since I've booked this trip, and it's like I really want to kind of break out and get away from our old traditional spots and find some new spots, and hoping for good weather so I can maybe actually get out. It's like get out a little farther and the waves aren't too ridiculous out there in the actual ocean, because most of our fishing we do there is inshore, but we go out a little ways. The gas tank isn't very big in my brother's boat, so we're pretty limited to how far we can go out. So not only weather limits us, but just fuel capacity. But I'm half tempted to just grab a couple 5-gallon gas cans and strap them in.
There you go.
That would extend the trip out pretty good. That'd be fun. But
where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah, damn right there is, Eric. You're damn right. All right, well, give everybody your information, and I think we covered everything.
That's sweet.
Yeah, that was awesome. I appreciate you doing this, dude. This was
This was great. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you got a phone number to give anybody, or just have them go and reach out to you on Facebook? And
yeah, just reach out to me on my Facebook page, Angler's Touch Fish Art and Taxidermy.
There you go. I'll put a link in the description and all that good jazz.
Sounds good.
That'll be awesome. All right, dude, have a good night. This was fun.
All right, yeah, we'll do it again.
Yeah, we'll be in touch.
All right.
Bye.